Welcome to The Skeptic's Guide to Investing with Steve Davenport and Clem Miller. Every 2 weeks, Steve and Clem bring you brief investment insights you may not find anywhere else. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Here are Steve and Clem.
Welcome to Skeptic's Guide to Investing. I'm Steve Davenport, and in this podcast, Clem Miller and I will be talking about Microsoft, MSFT, another one of the Magnificent Seven. I think nearly everybody is familiar with Microsoft Windows operating system and the Windows Office Suite with Word, Excel, PowerPoint, etc. Our audience is also probably familiar with Microsoft Teams, LinkedIn, and Bing. Clem, I understand that Microsoft has become a leader in generative AI, cloud computing, and gaming. Let's start with generative. Can you tell us more about what Microsoft is doing there?
Sure, Steve. So what happened was Microsoft bought OpenAI. That's the creator of ChatGPT and GPT-4 and other iterations. And what it's doing is it's incorporating generative AI into its product suite. And so one of the ways it's doing that is it's come up with Copilot. Copilot is a product that enterprises can buy as well as individuals. And for individuals, it's an add-on to various existing product lines.
So I can see how Copilot can augment Microsoft's existing products. Do you think there's some risk that Microsoft will face unfavorable AI regulatory environment?
Yeah, Steve, it's a little too early to tell. I would say that probably these rules will emanate from the EU first, given that they have a new act called the Digital Services Act. Also, I think that it's important to realize that Microsoft won't be the only firm targeted. There'll be other firms in the AI space that'll be targeted. And also, I would add to that that I think generative AI, while it might be targeted, is probably not the kind of AI that folks might be, policymakers might be the most worried about. They might be more worried about some of the more science fiction-y applications of AI.
I also understand that Microsoft has a substantial cloud computing business and is incorporating AI into that. Can you tell us something about that?
So Microsoft has always been a big player in cloud computing. It's been incorporating AI into its cloud and now calls its cloud services Intelligent Cloud. Its main product under Intelligent Cloud is the Azure platform. And Azure is for enterprise businesses. And so basically, they're trying to make Azure intelligent decision-making support for enterprise clients.
Wow. So besides generative AI, are there other technologies that Microsoft might someday incorporate in its cloud business?
There's this concept called quantum computing, which is a very, very new concept. I know a few things about it, but you know, a lot of it is beyond me technologically. I do know that they're taking this quantum computing and they have some beta testing that's out there with various scientific research groups who understand quantum computing a lot better than the rest of us do.
I'm not sure I fully comprehend quantum cloud, but it certainly sounds cool. More down to earth, I understand Microsoft recently acquired gaming company Activision Blizzard, thereby expanding its involvement in online gaming. Clem, what are the names of Microsoft's suites of games?
So when you put them together, you've got Call of Duty, you've got Soldier of Fortune, you've got Overwatch, you've got World of Warcraft, and you've got Xbox Spider-Man. So they're making they're going to have a very large income stream coming in from all of these different products.
I suspect that Microsoft checks off a lot of your stock selection boxes, Clem. Let's start off with profitability. How are they doing?
Okay, so latest data is that their net income margin, that is their net profit, is 36%. So they make 36 cents on every dollar of revenues. their free cash flow margin, which is how much actual free cash they generate on revenues, is 26%. So they generate a lot of cash that can be used for stock buybacks and also for dividends. Their return on equity is 39%, which is also really outstanding.
What about a revenue and earnings growth?
So if you look at 3-year annualized, revenue growth is 14%. EPS, earnings per share, is 18%. And free cash flow growth is also about 17%.
Wow, these growth rates are solid, especially for a company that is already so large. However, I wonder if Microsoft might face some EU regulatory hurdles that will slow its revenue or earnings growth. What do you think?
So I mentioned earlier the Digital Services Act that regulates content. There's also a kind of parallel EU act to that called the Digital Markets Act. And what the Digital Markets Act does is it requires companies to take actions to try to reduce their monopolistic power. And that would be in particularly in the case of the EU, but also these EU regulations extend extraterritorially. So Microsoft may have to take some of these same measures here. One of those measures is to actually provide some of its algorithms to smaller businesses. So that's something that all of the large magnificent, you know, seven companies, or most of the magnificent seven companies, have to deal with.
Is Microsoft expensive? How does Microsoft compare to the PEG ratios of the other magnificent seven companies?
Well, first of all, let me tell our audience what the PEG is. PEG is the forward PEG. Forward PEG is the forward PE ratio divided by earnings growth. So it's a way of being able to balance valuation and growth. So Microsoft's PEG ratio, forward PEG ratio, is 2.4 times. So that's cheaper than Apple, which is 3 times. It's cheaper than Tesla, which is 3.8 times. However, it's more expensive than Google, which is 1.3 times, Nvidia, which is 1.4 times, Amazon, which is 1.7 times, and Meta, which is 1.2 times. So basically, Microsoft is pretty expensive.
Wow. So it's not the cheapest of the Mag 7 stocks, but it's certainly a great name. I know that you look to see whether short sellers are interested in a particular stock. What can you tell us about short seller interest for MSoft?
So the short interest ratio for Microsoft is 0.67%. That is among the lowest short interest ratios that I've seen in all of my research. So, you know, short sellers are just not interested in betting against Microsoft.
Well, that's nice. People aren't going after you. I know you also look at Glassdoor employee satisfaction as an indicator of corporate quality. How does Microsoft fare in the Glassdoor?
Also, you know, they're very good on the Glassdoor ratings. They have a 4.3 stars out of 5 stars, which falls comfortably within the category of very satisfied. So, yeah, I mean, its employees have a very high satisfaction rating.
Okay, that sounds good. Let's turn to our mailbag. We have a question here. If you had to choose between Microsoft and Apple, which name would you choose? My view is, and I'm not saying this just because I like you, Clem, I like Microsoft over Apple here because I'm concerned about Apple's position in China. I'm concerned about Apple's, they're making a product and products go out of style and things change. And so I think that Microsoft is such an integral part of what everyone does in business and personally with their computing that I feel like Microsoft might have the edge. What's your view, Clem?
You know, I couldn't say it any better than the way you just expressed it. You know, if you look at Apple's performance over the last 6 months, 8 months, I think that bears it out. They haven't done very well. And so for that reason, you know, I was very underweight when we did our Apple podcast a few months ago. And now I've sold that remaining portion.
Wow. Thanks for those insights today, Clem. And thanks to our listeners on today's podcast. If you like our content, please like our podcast and subscribe and share with any friends who you think need some of these insights to help their investments. Thanks and have a good day.
The views shared on this podcast represent the personal investment views of the hosts. They are for educational purposes and not meant to be taken as investment advice. Listeners should consult their own investment, legal, and tax advisors. Past performance of any investments is not a guarantee for future return.